Last week we looked at the previous passage. Today we want to look at 10:38 through the end of the chapter. We're looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan, and I suggested that that was, for us at least, that was kind of a cautionary tale. You know, I know that the Good Samaritan is more than that. It's a matter of demonstrating to us the fulfillment of loving your neighbor as yourself. But I suggested it was kind of a cautionary tale because the two people who were involved in not doing the right thing was both a priest and a Levite, sort of religious professionals, people who would have professed that they loved God and loved their neighbor, but weren't demonstrating it in their lives. And Jesus chooses a Samaritan, a person who was a foreigner, basically, to the promises of Israel, and said, he's doing it better than you guys are. You know, he was the real neighbor. I'd like to shift our focus just a little bit today and kind of go back to the things that are really important and not trying to suggest that loving your neighbor was unimportant, but there's a beginning step to that. And as I did at least mention last week, I don't think the religious practices that we engage in are unimportant. I just think it's easy to kind of use those as our sole focus. But I want to go back today. I want to focus on those things a little bit today, because I think the story of Mary and Martha does focus our intention on the importance of hearing the word of God. And I would suggest that it is a religious duty of first importance. And it's the thing that actually motivates and fuels our energy, our desire, and gives us the very motivation to go out and do the love your neighbor as yourself thing, okay? Without hearing the word of God, I'm not so sure we have the power to continue to do what Jesus tells us about in the Good Samaritan. It's a good start without it, but you can still do those things, but without hearing the word of God, you're going to miss something. So I want to think about that today, and I want to think about, as Jesus talks about it today, the one thing needful, one thing necessary, and that's in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. We have basically two characters in this story, besides Jesus, of course. We have a woman distracted and a woman focused. And we could say not just women, but men, okay? This is a thing that crosses gender boundaries. We're not just talking about women and distracted and focused. We're talking about people. And so what we see here is a story of Jesus in someone's house. We see hospitality at the home of Martha, Mary, and if you weren't aware, this is also the home of Lazarus that we read about in John chapter 11. They were all siblings living under one roof. And so Jesus goes to their house to eat a meal. It's interesting, in this story, you don't see any other characters in the story. But I'm guessing all the disciples are there. There's probably people hanging around the house. I don't know how many people were actually invited into the house. But the fact is, Jesus is there with Mary and Martha, and there apparently is a lot of preparation to be done. Assuming there are more than just those three individual or four in the house, there's a lot of preparation here that needs to be done to feed them all, to make them feel comfortable. I'm guessing to wash their feet, whatever other things would be done, to make guests comfortable. They have to do all this. And part of the reason I'm getting you to think about the other people in the house, because later on, when Peter writes a letter, he's going to write in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, he's going to say, practice hospitality without grumbling. Now, I don't know if he has Martha in mind here, but I'm sure he was there watching, and I'm guessing that Martha was repeated over and over again in his life. He'd seen people who were just, I don't really want to do this. I'll do it because I have to, blah, 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 Anyway, he says, practice hospitality without grumbling. This is not an unimportant issue. Practicing hospitality is not unimportant. But there's something more important, and that's the key here. Because Jesus looks at Martha, and she's just fretting, and she's, trying to get this prepared, she's trying to get that prepared. I don't know how many other people are in there helping. But Jesus, she goes to Jesus and said, tell my sister to help me. And my guess is she probably said it kind of sharply. She was probably pretty doggone annoyed that Mary was sitting there doing nothing. I actually had a discussion quite a few years ago with a woman at camp when I was working at Camp Manitani during the summer. And she said, yeah, Martha was right. He should have had her help him. And I'm like, but that's not what he says. You know, she was really, I could see she was probably not getting much help at home, I'm guessing. But she felt like Martha was right. Well, Martha's not right. Jesus says to her, Martha, you're just distracted with much serving, and you're anxious and troubled about many things. You guys get that way? Anybody can get that way. You know, it can be about serving and hospitality. It can be about getting things done around the house. It can be about, you know, work problems and getting this and that done. And you get focused on all those things. You get troubled and anxious about many things. Spiritual growth can be choked by well-intentioned overactivity. I want you to remember that statement. Spiritual growth can be choked by well-intentioned overactivity. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, Jesus, telling the story of the parable of the sower, he notes that in one of those particular soils, you know, the good seed is choked out by the cares and worries of life. Sometimes Satan doesn't come at us with a direct approach and say, deny your faith. He just distracts us. He just makes it harder for us to stay focused on the right thing. She got so bogged down in the details of hospitality, she forgot to enjoy the company of her guest. And let's add another layer onto that. He's more than just another guest. Yet this is what the world does, doesn't it? It diverts our attention to numerous things. You know, I was tempted to call them non-essentials. They're not unimportant things. Some things that get us distracted are very good things. But if they distract us from the most important thing, they're bad things. And so we also have in this story a woman who is focused. Mary sat and listened to Jesus. I don't know how Mary knew that that was the thing she needed to do. There may have been something intuitive about her that she just sensed, I need to spend some time with this guy and really let him teach me. She had some sense that, you know, I'm going to just sit and hear what he has to say. There's something about this that's feeding my soul in a way that just helping with hospitality is not. I don't even know if she thought through it that much. I think she might have just had some intuitive notion, I need to listen to him. This is really good for me to do. It was, in fact, according to Jesus, the one thing necessary or one thing needful. It's translated in any number of different ways. But it was the most important thing at the moment. And she was doing it. Martha was not. Jesus, does he not tell us? Or actually, when he is being tempted by Satan, he reminds Satan, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Mary just had a sense about that. Maybe she should have been helping. Maybe, you know, she was just the type of person who was, you know, easily just kind of led astray, or it seemed like she wasn't thinking about the kind of things that Martha was always thinking about. But the fact is, she's still doing the right thing here. And Martha needs to learn from that you know what, there are other things more important here. The food will be served in its good time. You know what? And even if it's cold, we get the most important thing. Now, I don't know if Jesus went through all that discussion with her, but I just have to see what's happening in this particular little episode. Listening to the word of God was more important than food and drink. And Jesus tells us that himself in Matthew chapter 6 when he talks about our anxieties. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you as well. That's priority number one in our lives. Well, after I thought about this a little while and sort of mulled it over in my mind, how can I improve on what's said here? And I'm thinking, well, I really can't improve on it. But I can sort of add a few layers of things on here that are also the most important things. First of all, we know that the most important thing is listening to, and we'll add on to that, obeying the word of God. That's priority number one, okay? Listening, discussing, and reflecting are the first necessary steps to doing the Word of God, to actually being obedient to us, okay? And you may want to remember here that when Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, he actually is prompted by a person who asks him, what can I do to be saved? Jesus tells him, Jesus asks him, how do you read the law? And along with loving your neighbor as yourself, we have to remember the very first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the first priority. Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time with that in the Good Samaritan because he's trying to explain to the guy, you know, what is a neighbor? What is a good neighbor? But the first priority is loving God. And if you don't really have that, you know, all the things that we do to maybe good things for others, I think at some point, I don't know if we're going to be able to continue. I read many, many years ago about one theologian who had suggested sometimes our generation gets to be like a cut flower generation. You know, when you cut a flower off of the plant, eventually, even putting it in water and floral preservative, it's going to die. And it's going to die because it doesn't have the soil that not only enriches it, but feeds it continually. And, you know, when we cut ourselves off from the soil of what really feeds our souls, we're like that. And I think at some point we're not going to have the motivation to continue to love our neighbor until we learn to love God first. We must feed on and live by the Word of God. Micah chapter 6 tells us, "The Lord requires us to act justly, love kindness, and walk humbly with Him." Listening to the Word of God is the very first act of humility, recognizing that I am not the sole author of things right and wrong becomes a genuine act of humility before God. And so listening to it and learning from it. James chapter 1 verse 21 says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word." Philippians 4:8, "Devote yourselves to that which is good. Think about all the good things. Think about that which is noble and righteous and good." And he goes on, he lists about 6 or 7 or 8 things in there that we need to focus our attention on. Think about those things. See, if we stop thinking about those things, whatever good deeds we do, well, I mean, I can't say they're bad, but I think at some point, you know, do you really have the right motivation for doing all those things? Can you really continue to have the strength to do all those things? Paul tells Titus in chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, "Tell the church to devote themselves to doing good works." Okay, those are all things that come from serving God. All this comes, I believe, from loving God first. There has to be this transition from listening to doing, but the fact is, we got to listen first. What does God want from us? Who are we as the people of God? Without staying attached to the vine, the branches wither and die, and loving one's neighbor becomes, I think, something that just sort of eventually fades into the background. If not in our generation, in the next generation. We cannot cut the flower off from the plant and expect that it's going to survive. So the first thing, I think, that I would add to, you know, the one thing needful would be just love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And a lot of things come from that. Not the least of which is the second thing I would add on to this, things that are needful. I know Jesus says one thing is needful, but we're throwing a bunch of other things in there that stem from listening to the Word of God. And the a second one would be, remember what your first priority is. Your first priority is salvation of your souls. I know we think it's, you know, everybody else, but let's worry about, first of all, the salvation of our souls. Listen to how Peter says it. He talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 1. In fact, the passage that was read this morning. You know, and he says, actually beginning in verse 8, he says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." I mean, deep inside, even if we don't think about it every week, isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we are a part of this Christian church, this place that we come and encourage each other and partake of the Lord's Supper and engage in listening to the Word of God? We're worried about our souls. the salvation of our souls, what's going to happen to us in the next life. And you know, we get so focused on preserving this life, we forget maybe that our real goal is what's happening in what happens to us in the next life. Peter's initial message in Acts included the following statement: save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. He also exhorts people later on in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 to make your calling and election sure. And he wants them to engage in the kind of things that would cause their faith to grow and cause them to want to love one another more and more. He wants, as he says, to provide an entrance into the eternal kingdom. That's why he goes into all the exhortation that he does in the book of 2 Peter. Paul reminds us, if we behave according to the flesh, we will not enter the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21. And all this relates to entering eternal life after we pass through this one. Isn't that what we want? We want to get to the heavenly kingdom. As Floyd says in his prayers pretty regularly, you know, we want God to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And then enter into the joy of your master. Enter into this place where you're never going to die, where there will be no more sin and no more sorrow. The last thing that I would add as another needful thing, and maybe just again consistent with the one needful thing, is to love and serve one another. You know, just listening to the Word of God, if we don't move beyond just listening, we're not really doing. In fact, Jesus tells us, does he not, in John chapter 14 and verse 15, he who loves me will obey my commandments. You know, love is obedience to the commandments of God. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, it's the same context where he says, practice hospitality. He also says, love one another earnestly. He will say also in that same section, serve one another, chapter 4, verse 10. And think about how many times that you might be able to think about right off the top of your head, how many times that the Apostle Paul will say something to his congregations about loving one another. Or, we know you love one another, keep on loving one another. He says this kind of thing regularly. In chapter 3, in verse 14 of Colossians, he says, put on love over everything else. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, he says, I know you love each other, now do it more and more. Don't stop loving each other. Even when we perhaps feel like we're not lovable, we continue to love one another. You know, there's never a point where we can say, oh, I don't want to love them anymore, or I don't want to forgive them anymore. We never get to that point. Does our love keep growing? Does it get stronger? Do we get to the point where our hearts feel like we can sort of just burst with love? Well, I don't know that I've ever experienced it quite that way, but I know that I can continue to love people even when they're not lovable, or I can continue to love people that I love even more. I can grow in love with people. And that's really what the Bible is all about, isn't it? Love one another. Do what is right and good for one another. Serve one another. In fact, Paul will even say in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, use your freedom to love and serve one another. Okay? Love doesn't just leave it where it is. Love actually serves one another. And so Paul says, yeah, you got a lot of freedom, but you know, your freedom is meant for a purpose. It's meant to love one another. By all this, we will know we are Christ's disciples. All men will know we are Christ's disciples if we, and you can fill in the blank there, can't you?
Have love for one another.
If we love one another. John chapter 13 and verse 35. So, one thing needful, listen to the Word of God. And I think a lot of other things just come from that. They aren't things that you don't know. They're kind of simple. I mean, simple in terms of consistent with what we already know about God. Focus on those things. Focus on your salvation. Focus on hearing and obeying the Word of God. Focus on not letting the distractions of life pull you away from those important things. The salvation of your soul is at stake. Put God first in all things. Love your neighbor as yourself. Nothing difficult about understanding that. But we need to just keep doing it. Keep doing the love that we know we're supposed to do. There's one other thing that perhaps, if you haven't done this, that you need to also do. And it really relates to the salvation of your soul. And that's obeying the gospel. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Died for our sins, resurrected to give us a resurrected life, to give us eternal life. You need to, first of all, obey that gospel. Well, obviously you need, first of all, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And once you move from there, then you start listening to his word. You have faith in that. You're able to trust in it. You're able to have faith in it. You're able to confess publicly that Jesus, in fact, is Lord, the Savior of your soul. And from there, it's a matter of being baptized for the remission of sins and continuing faithfully to serve him and to love him and to love one another. Stay focused on those things. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, we want to give you an opportunity, or at least think about it for today. So let's do that now, while together we stand and sing.